All right, friends, here we are. It is our
14th wedding anniversary today. Mm-hmm.
So we thought we'd invite you into our little experience today. Hidden blessings
of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe unexpected that we didn't know when we first got married.
Yes.
Have you thought about it?
Number one, I would say is, well, I think obviously having a consistent, wonderful person in your life that's never going to leave you is like the best thing ever.
Unexpected?
Well, no, it's not. I guess it's not unexpected, but I think the world makes us think that there isn't a permanence when it comes to the marriage. But in our faith, marriage is indissoluble. And so it's a permanent choice, decision, covenant that's been made. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I don't think I really maybe fully understood, and I still don't fully understand the beauty of it, but I feel like as we grow and get older, it kind of gets unraveled to me, and it's beautiful.
One unexpected blessing as I reflect upon marriage is the joy of children.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly finding joy in things that annoy me. Like, or that are inconvenient. I was just thinking this morning, changed two diapers this morning.
Thank you.
And I have, you know, that's a little inconvenience. But I've never expected finding joy in inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was single, there wasn't too many inconveniences because,
you just know, did whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted.
That is kind of true. Mm-hmm. It's very true. So a diaper that's dirty is inconvenient. And so this morning, I'm changing two diapers and I'm singing a song to them. Mm-hmm. I have a song that I made up that I sing while I change them. And it goes like this. Poopy, poopy, you're the one. You make change times lots of fun. Poopy, poopy, I'm awfully fond of you. And it goes boop, 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 boop. Poopy, poopy, and it continues. And it's from Rubber Ducky on Sesame Street. Not that we endorse Sesame Street anymore, right? But there's a joy in the inconvenience. And I never thought I would be able to experience that. I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many little things like that throughout the day. It's really possible to find great joy in an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm. And I think even like with the more children that we've had, so now we have 7 children, I just never could understand how God could exponentially grow your love. You always think that it's like, okay, now there's 2 people, so then your love has to get split in half. But that's not the truth with God. God's love grows like more and more in us with the more that is demanded of us. And it's a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So, other than the blessings, what are some lessons that you've learned along the way?
As life has continued on, I think it's been apparent that it's really important to marry the right person.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so fortunate to have been to marry you.
Mm.
Like I married my best friend, friends. Like, you might be a friend, but she's my best one. And that's really true. I really enjoy spending time with you. And it makes marriage a great joy. I'm just so grateful. But I feel sad for people who don't marry their friend.
Right. So I think it's really important to counsel young people properly when it comes to making these big decisions. There's like ants crawling on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're right on top of an anthill.
Mm. Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Oh, let's move. There's lots of ants here. Maybe unexpected inconvenience.
Oh well, that's okay. And I think what really helped us too is that we were good friends. Like friends before, well, I guess there was always like a romantic interest, but like we really had time to develop a friendship because our relationship was a longer one, which I wouldn't always recommend. But like we got married when I was 28 and Ken was 33. I also feel like it's important, like, in marriage to surround yourself with other good marriages. Like, Ken, you've always been really good at asking people who've been married longer than us, you know, what wisdom can they share? So, you know, even just always growing and learning from other people what's worked well for them. But I think ultimately, just always focusing on our growth in virtue that helps us to grow in a good marriage.
So some advice that came to us, or sort of trickled into us from someone recently, was very good. I think maybe you should share it.
Well, she was just mentioning, you know, when your children start to have romantic interests, just make sure you watch carefully as a parent and you try to steer them in the right direction, because the person that they end up choosing to be with can really impact their walk with God. And you had a really great analogy about this, because you were saying, like, if you're someone of faith, for example,
yes,
and do you want to share that analogy?
Yeah, if you're somebody of faith, imagine standing on a chair and then trying to pull somebody up onto that chair. And they don't want to be up on that chair. Or they're resistant or hesitant. They're skeptical of going up on that chair. Maybe they don't believe what's up on top of that chair. So you're trying to pull them up on that chair. And in that struggle, it's way more likely that you get pulled off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like trying to raise a person of romantic interest into a level of faith. It's possible, but it's difficult. And it's difficult because of concupiscence, because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's way easier to go down than to go up onto the chair. And so for us, when it comes to encouraging our children eventually in their vocation, and should it be marriage, that they have someone who wants to be up on that chair,
mm-hmm.
who wants to be fully alive in their Catholic faith, growing in holiness, mm-hmm. seeking God's will, that the most pressing business in that person's life is, Jesus, what do you want of me?
Mm-hmm. And helping the other person to remain on the chair.
So, right? That's right. So mm-hmm. if that isn't a priority for our children's romantic interests, our advice in the future will be, no, it's going to be very difficult. I think in the past, maybe it was easier because the forces were less. Now we have such great disorder now. Mm-hmm. Think about just even the nature of marriage. That who's marriage for? You know, people are confused about that. People are confused about, like,
gender.
What's a woman?
Some basic things.
What's a man? Man, if you're not on board with that kind of stuff, forget it. Don't marry.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, the advice that we have received from people who are more advanced in their marriage has been wonderful. We value that, and we seek that out in our conversations. Like, what do you know now that you didn't know when you mm-hmm. first got married? Great question. And I love hearing those answers, and I'm grateful for the little wisdom that came to us recently. And I think as parents can influence our children's vocations by the types of families that we spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're blessed to have great friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great kids.
Yeah. So, like, I always encourage people, like, if you don't have good community, go find community, make community, seek out other families that have similar morals and beliefs as you, because it's very crucial in this day and age that you create the most optimal opportunity for your children to then seek a future spouse or vocation, to priesthood, religious life, whatever it is. Just create those opportunities for your kids. You know, God can use other means, not just the parents, but I mean, as parents, that's our duty. Our duty is to do that for our children. Okay.
Hey, thanks for watching today. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for sharing in our 14th wedding anniversary.
Oh, I'm curious if you have any wisdom to share, if you have been married, even if you've been married less than 14 years and you've learned a really great lesson in terms of marriage or family raising, we would love to hear it.
Comment below, please. Mm-hmm. God bless, friends.